who knows, this is 21st of June. Mm-hmm. That makes it the longest day. Yeah. Still 24 hours, by the way, but... but it's the longest day. It's also Father's Day. And I believe that's also a prophetic declaration to us that the longest day is Father's Day. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus said that anyone who had seen him had seen the Father. And he said that the works that he did, that they were the Father's works. He also said that he was anointed by the Father. In Luke 4:19 it says, to proclaim the accepted and acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the free favours of God profusely abound. You know, he came and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. I'll get to this in a few minutes, but he came to announce, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've heard me, you've heard the Father. I've come to speak as the Father's voice into the earth. I've come to be a manifestation of the Father in the air, of the Father's heart, of the Father's purpose. And I've come to declare his will and his purpose in the earth. And I believe that this is the longest day. This is the day when the Father's heart has been expressed. The day when the salvation and the free favours of God profusely abound. Who knows? When God created time, he created night first and then day. And that's why a Hebrew day is from nightfall to nightfall. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 5 it says, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and so the evening and the morning were the first day. But the day that Jesus announced, the longest day, because it's already lasted 2,000 years, the longest day began with the darkest night that there has ever been. As the greatest expression of love that the world has ever seen was being demonstrated, it was also the darkest night that the world has ever seen or ever experienced. And weeping endured for a night, but joy came in the morning as the Son of Righteousness arose with healing in his wings. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, in the New Living Translation, it says, but you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like a thousand years to the Lord, and a thousand years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. A thousand, with the Lord, a thousand years is like one day. That's just a metaphor. It's not necessarily saying a specific or referring a specific amount of time, because this day that Jesus announced has already lasted 2,000 years. Mm-hmm. You know what? It's not over yet. It's not over yet. You see, the 21st of June, there are 24 hours of daylight at the North Pole and 24 hours of darkness at the South Pole. And I believe that's a perfect prophetic picture. And I'm going to start this. Look at it. I got the title of the message first, and the substance of it. And I began to go in and study the word and stuff. And I could have gone 100 different directions. And I started to go into some really deep stuff. And the Lord just said, come back out of that. Let's keep this simple. We just spoke about how the congregation is on the size of the north and blah, blah. And I don't mean blah, blah. That's the word of God, but you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? I could have baffled you with some real good stuff, but anyway. The Lord said, kind of pulled me back from that. But on the 21st of June, there are 24 hours of daylight at the North Pole and 24 hours of darkness at the South Pole. And I believe that's, again, a perfect prophetic picture of the day that Jesus announced. The day that we are living in right now. The kingdoms of light and darkness are poles apart. Wow. Some people think there's this really up close battle between good and evil, but I want to tell you, the kingdoms of light and darkness are poles apart. Yeah. And the light, and we already heard this, Rachel read from Deuteronomy 28 just a few minutes ago, the light is on top and the darkness is all down under.
Yeah.
You see, in Deuteronomy 28, that walking in all of these blessings was contingent upon your keeping the law. But I want to tell you, the blessing is no longer contingent upon that. It's now contingent upon the fact that Jesus kept the law. Amen. And he completely fulfilled the law. Because it's not even the blessing of the law that has been promised us, it's the blessing of Abraham, which was before the law. and included all of the blessings in Deuteronomy 28 and the rest and more. Hallelujah. Jesus became a curse for us so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. The kingdoms of light and darkness are poles apart. The light is always on top and the darkness is all down under. Jesus has put the darkness once and for all and forever under his feet, and so he's placed the darkness once and for all and forever under our feet.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13 in the Amplified says, as the Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So we have been transferred from the and out from under the control and the dominion of the kingdom of darkness, and we have been transferred into the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. And I want to declare this morning there has never been so much light. And I want to declare also this morning the kingdom of heaven is not in retreat, it is still advancing. I remember reading an article back in 2005 that was based on information from a book that claimed by, and I've referred to this many times over the past few years, but that claimed that by 2032, as a result of the current growth of the church continuing, there would be more believers than people. By 2032, if the current growth of the church was to continue, then there would be more believers. That sounds like God, and he's always the morning enough, amen. When I heard that, it suddenly went off on the inside of me, down at base level, you know, within my spirit, because I thought, that's my God. That's the God that I serve. He's always got more than enough. He said, even when sin abounds, grace abounds much more. So the fact that there would be more more believers than people just fit the bill. Because even if there was no more people left, there would still be more grace left. When Jesus fed the 5,000, he didn't just get it just right so that everybody just got enough. No, there was more than enough. And every disciple got to hold the evidence of that in their hand as they went around and picked up 12 baskets, one each. And they walked down the road going, wow. Not only was there enough out of one little boy's lunch to feed 5,000 people or more, but there was a basket of evidence left over that our God is always the God of more than enough. By 2032, more believers than people. And I mean, you understand that? That move of God, that move of the Spirit, this incredible growth of the church has been fueled and driven by supernatural healings and deliverances and resurrections. Yeah. Hallelujah. Because God's still in the same business he was always in. When he said to his disciples, go out there and preach this gospel, this message of the kingdom. He said, heal the sick. He said, cleanse the lepers. He even put raising the dead before casting out demons.
Yeah.
We'd like to forget that he even said about raising the dead. But I believe that everything he said it deliberately. And every time he put something in order, he put it in that order for a purpose. So we would know that raising the dead isn't right there somewhere at the end where you could just forget about it. Although most people have forgotten about the demons as well. Hallelujah. The author of this book, he also wrote this. He said, very few people realize that the nature of life on earth is going through a major change. We are seeing a mega shift in the basic direction of human history. Until our time, the ancient war between good and evil was hardly better than a stalemate. That's why church was sometimes pretty stalemate. Not forget. Anyway, now all has changed. When we come together and worship, I was just thinking this morning, I thought, the more time you spend in worship, the more you realize that's what you're here for.
Yeah.
Does anybody else just get that sense? The more time you spend just in worship, you think, wow, this is what it's about. Hallelujah. But Jesus said the Father was seeking worshippers not only in spirit, but in truth. And so it's about taking hold of what he's saying and then getting out there and seeing what he has promised, fulfilled, seeing what he has declared and commissioned us with accomplished. Hallelujah. Amen. Until our time, the ancient war between good and evil was hardly better than a stalemate, but now all has changed. The Creator, whose epic story flows through the pages of Scripture, has begun to dissolve the strongholds of evil. This new drama has been played out every hour around the globe. Now, you're probably sitting there going, I ain't seen much of that. That's because most of that exponential and explosive growth has been taking place in non-Western nations. And until 1960, Western evangelicals outnumbered non-Western evangelicals by 2-1. But by 2000, just 40 years later, that had been reversed, and the non-Westerners outnumbered the Westerners by 4-1. And that ratio apparently has now risen to more than 7-1. There are now more missionaries sent from non-Western nations than from Western nations. So it's time for Scotland to just stop sitting on the fact that it used to send out a lot of missionaries and get back to the game plan. Stop talking about what happened 100 years ago, 200 years, which was great and fantastic and awesome, and much of what's happening in non-Western nations is as a fruit of that. I'll tell you, some of these guys that went out would be wondering what's happening to the church these days.
Yes.
It's time to stop sitting on our laurels, because it's time for the West. I believe this is the time for the West. I believe this is the time for Europe. I believe this is time for victory in Europe.
Amen.
God has spoken that prophetically, I believe, and I believe He's confirmed it, and I believe it's time, and we need to grasp hold of the time. Because the opportunity of a lifetime will only last as long as the lifetime of the opportunity.
Yes.
We have an opportunity right now, hallelujah, to be the people, glory to God, to get a job done. Amen. To partner with our Heavenly Father and see something happen that has never happened before. Hallelujah. The people who learn to say stop. You know, Joshua said to the son, stop.
Yeah.
And the son stopped. And it's recorded in Joshua, it says that something like that had never happened before and has never happened since. But that's what it says in Joshua. It doesn't mean it can never happen again. It just means it hadn't happened again. There's a lot of people who look back to history and go, wow, amazing, yeah. But they don't ever think it could ever happen again. You know, God's always in the increase business. Amen. He says, right, look what I did. That's great, but I've got bigger things to do. In fact, Jesus actually said, hey, you may have been impressed by the stuff I did, but I want to tell you, it's in God's heart for you to do greater things. That's how secure He was. Amen. Didn't trouble him one bit that the Father was going to do greater things. It's time for victory in Europe as we proclaim and declare God's word, because the entrance of God's word brings light, according to Psalm 119. We just need to believe the report of God's word, because it's still the longest day. It's still Father's Day. Hallelujah. Remember in John 14, Jesus promised that He would not leave us like fatherless orphans. And you know what? He was true to His promise. Because He sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit came from heaven. And the first thing the Holy Spirit does in our lives when we're born from above is He opens up a cry. He brings forth a cry. He bursts a cry on the inside of us. And the cry is, Daddy. Daddy. And that cry comes not from our soul, but from our born-again spirit. That part of us that was dead is made alive. And the first thing that happens is that cry goes up, Daddy. In Romans 8:15 it says, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Why is so much of the church acting like fearful slaves? Because the devil stitched them up. Because they were born again with the cry, Daddy, and then religion, organized religion, came along and lifted them out of the arms of the Father and raised them in tradition. And raised them with a mentality of fearful slaves. Instead of allowing them to grow in knowledge and understanding of Daddy. Even when I got a text from my daughter, she's 20-something, 8 years old now, and it said, Happy Father's Day, Daddy. Hallelujah. I tell you, this is the first Father's Day since I became a father for the first time 28 years ago. I'm a father four times over. This is the first time that there's been none of my children in the house on Father's Day. And none of them in church on Father's Day. And I want to tell you, I don't like it very much. But I started to feel a little bit of what it's like for our Heavenly Father when He looks around the house and children are missing. Because if that's the way I feel, I only feel that way because He felt that way first, and He feels it much more than I do.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He's got a lot more children than I've got for start. He's way ahead of me in that game. You have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Daddy, Father. Hallelujah. He brought us into that most intimate of relationships. In Galatians 4:6 it says, and because we are his children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Daddy, Father. Hallelujah. See, I want to help, try and help us this morning to understand something. See, that cry, that call, you know, in the King James, New King James, some other translations, it says cry. And I was reading there from the New Living Translation, it says call. But I like the call. Because it aligns us with God's throne. It gets Daddy's attention. It opens heaven to us as our Heavenly Father hears and responds to our call. Because the scripture says this, the word of God promises that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That word there includes healing, deliverance, prosperity. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, healed, delivered, prospered. And I was just meditating on this and I was allowing the Holy Spirit just to bring some stuff to me that we could share together this morning. And so what name of the Lord do we now call upon? Well, Jesus said the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. And everything that he said after that, healing the brokenhearted, preaching deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, setting at liberty the oppressed, and then of course announcing that day when the salvation and the free favours of God would profusely abound. Everything he said, after announcing that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, was all positive, and absolutely nothing that he said was in any way negative. And he was reading from the prophecy of Isaiah, he said what it said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. But you know, he came to reveal the Lord as Father. I mean, that's why they crucified him. Every time he spoke that God was his Father, religion shook to the very foundations. And didn't react very kindly towards that declaration. But Jesus came to reveal the Father. He came to reveal that the Lord is Father. The name that Jesus revealed to us, the name the Holy Spirit opened up on the inside of us is Daddy. Father. Remember, Jesus said that if we as natural fathers know how to give good things to our children, then how much more will our Father in heaven give? In one gospel it says good things, and another it says the Holy Spirit. That tells me that the Holy Spirit always comes with good things. Come on. How much more will our Father in heaven, our Heavenly Father, give good things, or the Holy Spirit, to those who ask him, to those who call upon his name, to those who call out, Daddy, 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 Daddy! Are we going to believe, or are we going to be a people who introduce others to the how much more, or are we going to go on existing in the how much less? Because a lot of religion just teaches you about the how much less. A lot of religion and religious tradition just perpetuates the how much less. Well, you can't expect that anymore. God doesn't do that anymore. He does it for somebody, he doesn't do it for everybody. One of the first rules of parenting is you should never have a favourite. I told my children, you're all my favourites. And I know I got that from my Heavenly Father, because that's the way he looks. He says, you're all my favourites. And I like to make you all feel special. You're all my special people. Hallelujah. Romans 8:32 in the Amplified it says, he who did not withhold or spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he for us all, will he not also with him freely and graciously give us all other things? In the Old Covenant, he reveals himself as Lord. You see it in our English Bibles as L-O-R-D, capital letters. In Hebrew, it's Yahweh, or the Hebrew letters are Yud, He, Vav, He. And they carry the meaning, we've spoken about this before, but it's just a little bit of revision for some of us. It carries the meaning of God breathes, I breathe. God breathes, I breathe. He is my life source. God created man out of the dust, and then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being, a living soul. His name is Yud Heh Vav Heh. That's his covenant name. That's the name by which he promises to be whatever we need him to be, whenever we need him to be. And I've said that sometimes, and I've seen people get uncomfortable. Because all of a sudden their religious antenna is beginning to sound alarm bells. And I fully understand where they're coming from, because 20 years ago I'd have felt the same way. Maybe 10, maybe 15. Because it just sounds too good to be true. I want to tell you, it's better than that. The good news is even better than that. This is the name by which he promises to be whatever we need him to be, whenever we need him to be. You see, listen up, folks. Being whatever we need him to be, whenever we need him to be, is exactly what a father does. Somebody help me. Can I get some agreement in the room? Being whatever we need our children to be, whenever they need us to be, that's what a father does. And Jesus said, how much more will your Father in heaven be everything you need him to be, whenever you need him to be? My children didn't choose to be conceived. That was my choice. We didn't choose to be created. That was his choice. And when he made that choice, he took responsibility. Because with every choice, there is a responsibility. Come on, somebody help me. And that's why when man failed, when man blew it, and the first man totally messed up the plan, he was unwilling to let it go. Because he had made a choice, and therefore he had taken responsibility to turn that mess around and to do whatever was necessary, and we know what was necessary. And when he did what was necessary, he placed the highest value on every one of us, on every single person that's ever breathed in this world. And that's where we need to look at everybody out there. That's where you need to look around you. That's where you need to start looking at yourself. That's where you need to look at that person next to you this morning. That's where you need to look at people in your family. That's where you need to look at your neighbours that you can't stand. That's where you need to start looking at them. That's where you need to start looking at these people out there that you've turned. The ones you've written off. The ones you see on the news, on TV. Come on. The ones you've started to be afraid of. You need to start looking at them and saying, the Father in heaven placed a value on that person. Whenever we begin to grasp that understanding that he is everything, he has promised to be everything that we need him to be whenever we need him to be, at that moment we begin to move forward. At that moment we begin to align ourselves with the throne of heaven. At that moment we begin to be those who will be able to channel his blessing into the earth. Hallelujah. No wonder people in out there in the world are running to the New Age and to New Age spirituality and to all these people that, because most of these people, they promise them something of blessing. And they're channeling spirits that are bringing messages to people that give them a wee bit of hope and a wee bit of encouragement that maybe things aren't as black as they thought. So maybe there is a bit of light at the end of the tunnel. But the reason they can channel these spirits is because there is a channel. A channel that God put in every one of us to channel His Spirit. And His Spirit always comes with a message that our Heavenly Father has good things.
Amen.
Way better than any New Age spirituality can dream of. Mm-hmm. All the stuff that they promise. Like one fellow I used to listen to preaching years ago said every one of the apples the devil gives you has got a big worm in the heart of it. But the reason so many people are running to the lie is because there's so little truth being proclaimed. How much more will your Heavenly Father be whatever you need Him to be, whenever you need Him to be? We just get alongside people and whatever their problem is, we tell them your Heavenly Father knows what you need and He's ready to meet it. Unconditionally. Not when you get your life sorted out. Not when you got all your ducks in a row and all your I's dotted and your T's crossed. Not when you get your good suit on and get out of church. No. Right now He's ready to meet your need. That's what Jesus did. That's the way Jesus revealed the Father. Jesus went into the places that religion wouldn't go near with a bath pole. And he just got alongside people and He didn't place any conditions on anything. He just blessed them. He released the blessing of the Father. He said, if you can believe this, you can receive it. Father's Day is the longest day. I want to tell you, whenever you see that name, Lord, L-O-R-D, capital letter, if you can now put in the revelation that Jesus brought to us, you can put Daddy in there. Let's just move on a little bit. Let's get this down the inside of us this morning. Let's make this a Father's Day to remember, eh? Mm-hmm. Amen to that?
Yes.
So let's make this a Father's Day to remember. Genesis chapter 22, verse 14. It talks about Yahweh. Yeah, the Lord my provider. See, one of the primary roles of a father is to provide. That means whatever you need, whenever you need it, it's Father's function and role to provide it. And the Father revealed Himself in that way, way back at the beginning, right there in the book of beginnings. He said, I am the Lord, your provider. He's the Lord my provider. You know what? He's Daddy. My provider. It's much easier to get into a place where you can begin to expect to receive when it's Daddy you're looking at. Well, maybe not him. In Exodus 15:26, he reveals Himself as Yahweh Rapha, the Lord, my healer. Daddy who heals me. He says, I am the Lord who heals you. And now, through the revelation that Jesus brought to us, he's our Daddy who heals us. Your natural Daddy, when you were sick, he would have done anything he could to heal you. But a lot of times he couldn't. But your Heavenly Father can. Your Heavenly Daddy can, and because He can, He will. And He's promised to be your healer in every situation where sickness afflicts you or affects you. I know this, people struggle with this stuff. Well, it's time to stop the struggle. Just open up. What if it's wrong? Well, it's not that far wrong. They can't go put you that far wrong. It ain't wrong anyway, I guarantee you. Nobody's asking you to drink Kool-Aid with poison in it. Come on. I'm saying, Daddy wants to heal you. And many times, maybe when you were a child and you were sick and you looked up into your father or your mother's eyes and they looked down and you saw something in their eyes that you sensed that they just longed to be able to do more for you and you saw the limitation that was on them. Well, there's no such limitation. You can look and you can call upon the name of your Daddy, your Heavenly Daddy, and I'll guarantee you He will bring that healing. Hallelujah. Because He can. Because He's promised to be everything you need Him to be. When you need Him to be your healer, He's promised to be your healer. Whenever you need Him to be your healer. And all you need to do to receive that is believe it. Because whoever calls upon the name of Daddy shall be healed. I know it's not very religious, folks, but it's the truth. It's the absolute truth. It's the total, complete, 100% reality. Exodus chapter 17, verse 15. He reveals himself as Yahweh Nissi, the Lord is my banner. Jesus came with a revelation that this Lord, our banner, is our daddy. He's a daddy who we run to. I tell you, when my children were small, nothing blessed me more than seeing my children run to me. And I've told this before, probably loads of times, but I remember that time, the first time I went to America, and I went on my own, and Katrina had three kids at that point, all under 4 years old, and when I was flying back into Glasgow, and it just committed to her big heart to come down there to Glasgow and meet me off the plane. I didn't know they were coming. The three kids, people thought she was crazy, but she is, but anyway. She's crazy and she's in love with me, so I don't mind. But I got off the plane, I was looking forward to a long wait, not looking forward to it at all, a long wait before I get the next flight. Or I can't remember, I was flying back to Stormy, but just getting back to Stormy and getting home and getting reacquainted with my family. And I was just there at Glasgow Airport and that place, yeah. And I'm waiting for my bags, and I was just standing there, long flight over, and this thing ran up my leg, and it was Sarah. And she just grabbed her arms around me and said, "Daddy!" And I'll tell you, I'll never forget that moment. When he said, "I am Yahweh Nissi, I am your banner," he was saying, "I am the daddy you can run to. I'm the daddy who will fight for you. I'm the daddy who will give you the victory in every situation." Yeah. That's what he was saying. Judges chapter 6, verse 24, he reveals himself as Yahweh Shalom. Mm. He's the Lord, my peace. I am the Lord, your peace. He's daddy who gives me peace and rest, who comforts me. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Who restores peace to my troubled soul. Well, I just release that cry, "Daddy." I don't release it from my soul, I release it from my spirit. We need to understand this morning. We're not just talking about some kind of emotional stuff. God created us with emotions. But he created us with emotions that were designed to always be in submission or under the control of what God was releasing in our spirit. Hallelujah. Somebody. If you don't catch that, you miss everything. It all falls, it's like jelly. It's just blah, 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 blah. There's a cry that he bursts forth in our spirit. "Daddy!" And in that place when we need it, he promises to be everything that we need him to be. When we need peace in our soul, that cry goes up from our spirit and he infuses our soul with peace. Hallelujah. He restores our soul. Amen. Get that one. We'll get that in a minute. That one. Hallelujah. He's the Lord. He's daddy who gives me peace and rest when I can't sleep at night, you know. You'd be tossing and turning and your daddy comes in and says, "Are you okay? What's wrong? I can't sleep." And he just sits on the bed and maybe reads you a story. Come on. You're there and maybe you're thinking, "I didn't have a daddy like, I didn't have a daddy at all." I tell you, we now live in a generation where the percentage of fatherless children who live in homes like fathers is gone out of control. And that's why people need to hear this message. Hallelujah. Oh, I'll leave that. We'll come back on that. All right. Hallelujah. He comes and he's right there in your room and he's comforting you. He's bringing his word to you. And he's reminding you of the story. You know, "Daddy, tell me a story." And he says, "Well, remember that time?" And he reminds you of what he's done for you and what's happened and your experiences you've experienced together in the past. And it just brings you back to that place of peace and rest. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. We're talking about here. We're talking about Yahweh Shalom. That's exactly who he is. He's Almighty God. We were saying that he's enthroned in the heavens. He sits enthroned in the heavens over the earth. I want to tell you, he's daddy. Yeah. David Cameron's children, he's daddy to them. He's Prime Minister to me and you. He lives in 10 Downing Street and we see him on TV every day and he's the Prime Minister. We say, oh, look, there's the Prime Minister. Some of you aren't all that happy about that fact, but whether you like it or not, he is. Some people aren't all that happy that the Almighty God sits upon the throne of the heavens either, but I want to tell you, he still is. But in David Cameron's house, he's daddy to his children. And in God's house, he's daddy to his children. Oh, shut up, bubbles. Come on, somebody! I had a dream last night. I woke myself up. I was shouting so loud when I was preaching. I thought, I don't know if I do that anymore. You know what I'm saying? I think I woke a couple of people up, though. Including myself. Anyway. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 3 and then in chapter 17 verse 45 he reveals himself as Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, as Daddy, the commander of heaven's armies.
Yeah.
I mean, during times like when they were celebrating things like VE victory in Europe, you know that, nobody can mention any of these things in regards to the Second World War without talking about Winston Churchill. You know what I'm talking about? So now they find some sort of grandchild or something, and they bring them on, and they talk about Winston Churchill, and you hear the order and everything still coming out of them, because to them he was like their grandfather, or I don't know if it was some of his children are still alive, I think they are, and his father, but he was daddy to them, but he was the commander of the armies of this nation that went to war with the wicked, and it was an ideological war, and they defeated the devil in that war, to be perfectly frank, and all the plans he had for evil, and God turned them around for good. But our daddy is the commander of heaven's armies. If that doesn't make you sleep better than I don't know what will. What about all the demons? Well, even if you start to go down that road, I want to tell you, yes, there's a lot of demons out there. In fact, a third of the angels of heaven fell, but guess what? It was a third. So there's still two-thirds operating on your behalf. Because the Word of God tells me that they are ministers who are sent forth to minister to those who are the heirs of salvation. That's you and me. Those who are part of what who Jesus proclaimed over us, that he had come to announce the day, Father's Day, the longest day, when the salvation and the free favours of God would profusely abound, and there's two-thirds of the angels of heaven still in that place, still acting out that role, still fulfilling that function and ministering for you and on your behalf as an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ and an heir of salvation, and the free favours of God profusely abounding all over you. Hallelujah. If that's not enough, it's your Father who sits on the throne, who commands him. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. And if one of them doesn't do what it's supposed to, you'll get another one that'll do. If that one doesn't do it, you'll get another one. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, somebody. And if it's something they can't do, he'll come and do it himself. Because it wasn't enough to put an angel on the cross. So it wasn't enough to put an angel on the cross. That he had to come and do it himself. Exodus chapter 31. We getting the message? Our daddy is the commander of heaven's armies. All you have to do is ask. It said that Jesus had 12 legions of angels that he could have called upon to rescue him. Somebody help me, come on. But he resisted so that we could have that honour and that privilege. Next time you're in trouble, there's 12 legions of angels just waiting.
Yeah.
On standby.
Yeah.
Just waiting for your call to go to the Father, and the Father will, the commander of heaven's armies, will send a directive, hallelujah, for them to move on your behalf. To because whoever calls upon Daddy will experience His salvation, His healing, His deliverance, His provision, His peace, His joy. Well, I know many times, man, the last week I just realized, man, there ain't nothing left to do but laugh. Sometimes between and I, we look at everything, what in the world's going on? I have no idea, but there's nothing left to do but laugh. Because anything else is just going to get you into some kind of place of misery and stress. And I want to tell you, that just, the minute you grab a hold of that, you're right there in the presence of the Father, because in the presence of the Father, in His presence, there is fullness of joy. Just that realization just totally aligns you with the throne of God, brings you right into the presence of God. You're right there in the throne room of God. Hallelujah. And nothing left to do but laugh. In Exodus chapter 31, verse 13, He reveals Himself as Yahweh something or other. I'm awfully glad Jesus brought a fresh revelation. My condition, the Lord, my sanctifier. Many people in the church are still running out there trying to get sanctified, running around trying to clean up their lives, you know, trying to fast and pray and trying to just get rid of that one last thing that will, once I get rid of this, maybe I'll be sanctified then. Well, Jesus became our sanctification. He revealed Himself as the Lord, our sanctifier, Daddy, who has set me apart for His purpose. He called me and created me and called me and set me apart for His purpose to be a fulfillment of His good and His acceptable and His perfect will. Hallelujah. I don't need to try and get sanctified. He's already become my sanctification. Hallelujah. And more of the fruits of that sanctification will appear in my life when I get that realization.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. As long as I fight, as long as I'm trying to be an apple tree, I won't produce many apples. Nothing under stress operates and functions like it should. Somebody help me. But as soon as I just realize I'm an apple tree and producing apples is what I do, glory to God, the apples start to come. That's why the foundation of our message is we're not the sinner trying to get sanctified or become righteous or holy. We are the righteousness of God. We are the sanctified, resisting sin. Hallelujah. Producing the fruits of righteousness. We're not sick trying to get healed. I'm not trying to get healed, oh God. If I could just get into one more prayer line, this will be the one. Oh, more disappointment. No, I'm not healed. Healed is who I am. As soon as I stand in that and begin to proclaim and declare that, hallelujah, then all attempts of sickness to penetrate and find a place and become established in my body, they begin to fail.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Because I produce healing. Because I'm the healed. Psalm 23, verse 1. Psalm 23 verse 1, He reveals Himself as Yahweh Rohi, the Lord my Shepherd. Daddy, who cares for me, who provides for me, who protects me. I mean, I encourage you, when you go home today, get your Bible, go to Psalm 23 and read it like his daddy is talking about. Because that's exactly who he's talking about. He's the one who does all these incredible things for us. He's the one in whose house we will dwell forever. He's the one who anoints us, our heads with oil. He's the one who causes our cup to run over. Hallelujah. He's not afraid of me. His daddy, our shepherd. Jeremiah 23 verse 6, He reveals Him, need to push this forward, we're trucking along here. He reveals Himself as Yahweh Sidkenu, the Lord, my righteousness. What does that mean? Jesus says, the Lord, your righteousness, He's your daddy. He's the one who gives you the right to come into His presence without a sense of fear or guilt or shame or condemnation or any other negative emotional response. You can just come right in to His presence and jump right up on His knee.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Without expecting a slap or expecting the baseball bat to come out from under the throne and clout you on the back of the head. Come on, somebody. He gave us that right. He's the one that declared us righteous. He's the one that said you can just come right in. He said you can even come boldly. You can even forget to knock. If they ask and the seeking ain't working, then try knocking. But you don't really. You can, if asking is working, you don't even need to get knocking. Oh, somebody, come on. I would just stand here and love smiles. It'll help you, honestly, it will. Let it crack this one. If you hear any funny noises, don't worry about it. Just let it happen. The end result will be beneficial. Father's Day is the longest day. Hallelujah. Ezekiel chapter 48, verse 35. Yahweh Shema. Oh, I love this. He's the Lord who is there. In this generation that we live in, where so many natural fathers aren't there, He's Daddy who says, I'm there. I'm always there. I'm always present. In these days of absentee fathers, He's never an absentee father. Hallelujah. He says, I'm the one who'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never walk out on you. I'll never abandon you. She said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you destitute. He's not only there, but He's available. He's always within calling distance. You can always call on His name and be guaranteed that He will answer. Because He's revealed Himself to be everything that you will ever need Him to be whenever you need Him to be. Because He's Daddy who loved the world so much that He gave His Son so that nobody would have to perish. He's Daddy who created the longest day because He's patient and long-suffering, and His perfect will is that nobody perish. He's Daddy who was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. He's Daddy who has given to us a word and a ministry of reconciliation. He's Daddy who's given us a message and a ministry to restore the orphans and the prodigals of this world to relationship with their Heavenly Father. Not to try and drag them screaming into church. No, but to restore. Because when they get back in relationship with the Father, they ask, where do we live? He said, well, we hang out over here. Sometimes. Sometimes over there. We start doing life together. He's our Daddy who wants to be everything that they needed, that these people out there who have no understanding, no realization. We've been up the county stones the last couple of nights, and there's people out there trying to get something out of stone. How sad is that? I don't know, a bit later last night, some of the folks had gone up earlier, I didn't get her after midnight, and I couldn't find her. Folks had gone before, and I was just a few drive-bys, and it was chucking down rain, and I just turned around the car after a while, and about, I don't know, 40 minutes, 45 minutes, and driving home, and I started to laugh. I thought, the God who answers by rain, let Him be God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. That's His mercy. Then poor people having to run back to their tents, that was His mercy. Instead of messing around them stupid stones when they should be asleep having a good night's kip. Hallelujah. He wants folks out there to know that he has daddy who has promised to be everything that they need him to be whenever they need him to be, because that's what daddies do. That's what a father does. Father's Day, let's stand up together. It's the longest day. Some say that's one of the longest sermons I've ever been. And we're done yet. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, and then in verses 5 to 6, it says, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And then in verse 5 it says, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. I believe that's the prophetic mantle that is on the church, because that mantle is reconciliation.
Yes.
Reconciliation. We are living in the longest day. We are living in Father's Day. Isaiah 60 verses 1 and 3 says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And the Gentiles, who are they? That's the people who don't know anything about Daddy. They don't know anything about the God of Covenant. They'll come to your light. And kings to the brightness of your rising. Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 5 verses 14 to 16. He said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus said to anyone who saw him had seen the Father. I want to tell you this morning, it should be the same for us. It should be the same with us. Those who see us should see the Father. Hallelujah. They should see the Father's power, the Father's authority, the Father's blessing upon us, Father's anointing upon us. I said before, this is the first Father's Day since I became a father that I've had none of my children at home, and I'm not comfortable with it at all, but how much more does our Father in heaven want all of his children at home with him? Mm-hmm. You see, there's another day coming, because at the end of this day, this longest day, this day that the length of which has been determined by our Father's patience and long suffering and desire that none perish, but that all come to repentance, after this day, there's another day. And I want to tell you, on that day, our Father wants all of his children at home with him. I said he wants all of his, make sure, he wants to know that all of his children are in the house.
Yeah.
Before that day.
Yeah.
So I just want to encourage us this morning, as we leave here, we're going into a new week. We're going out there with an opportunity. We're going out there with a word and a message and a ministry of reconciliation to reach people and say, "There's a, you need to understand, you have a daddy who loves you. Mm-hmm. You have a daddy who cares about you. You have a daddy who has promised to be everything that you'll need him to be whenever you need him to be. Not just in the natural, but in the supernatural. Because, you know, this is what's on my heart this morning as we conclude. It's on my heart that our Father has a full house on that day. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus told a story one time, and he said, the master said to his servant, go out into the highways and the byways, under the hedges, and so that my, and get the folks out there and bring them in so that my house will be filled. Hallelujah. So that my house will be filled. I want to tell you, God's house is big enough for every single last person that's breathing on this planet right now, and his heart and his desire, and he's already paid the price for them, and his desire is for them to be in his house and to fill his house. Hallelujah. And he's given us a very simple responsibility to get out there and let them know that that's the truth and that's the reality. Let's go this into this week and let's do it. Everybody say amen to that, because amen. The longest day is Father's Day. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you for your incredible love, your amazing love, your unfailing, unending, unconditional love. Lord, and I just thank you that you've expressed that love and demonstrated that love towards the whole world. Lord, and it's your heart and your desire to see all men saved and none lost, to see all of your children restored, all of your children coming home, all of your children filling your house before that's other day comes. So Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that that's your heart. And Lord, we stand and we believe, Lord God, that we can be a part of seeing your will being fulfilled within this place. Lord, and wherever we go, Lord, we covenant with you to take that message, to take that ministry, Lord, and to restore and to people back to relationship with you by just announcing to them the day when your free favors profusely abound, when salvation and healing and deliverance has been made freely available to all. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.